Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Fino Payments Bank Q4 FY 2023 earnings conference call hosted by Go India Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rajat Gupta from Go India Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Darwin. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Fino Payments Bank earnings call to discuss the Q4 and FY 2023 results. We have on the call with us today Mr. Rishi Gupta, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Ketan Merchant, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Anup Agarwal, Financial Controller. We must remind you that the discussion on today's call may include certain forward-looking statements and must be therefore viewed in conjunction with the risk that the company faces. I now request the MD, Mr. Rishi Gupta, to take us through the company's business outlook and financial highlights, subsequent to which we'll open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Rajat. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us today. As you all know, Fino has come a long way since its inception as a payments technology company in 2006. We became the first profitable payments bank in 2020, and since then have worked diligently to build a niche for ourselves in this space, with profitability being our goal. While Ketan Merchant, CFO, will take through the financial performance for the quarter for FY 2023 and FY 2023 in detail, would like to highlight that our revenue has grown 22% year-on-year for FY 2023 and 13% year-on-year on quarter four FY 2023. PAT margins have improved in FY 2023 significantly to 5.3% at 65.1 crores against 4.2%, whereas for quarter four FY 2023, it stands at 6.8%. Our business journey, as we had discussed earlier, is based on the TAM strategy, which is transaction, acquisition, and monetization. The first phase, which we call the transaction phase, is focused on building a base. It is a phase wherein our remittance and cash withdrawal products act as a hook to bring in customers to Fino ecosystem. In this phase, we have set up our distribution network, and happy to report that we have so far added 13.7 lakhs merchants to Fino ecosystem and built customer trust by providing them with innovative, timely solutions for their banking needs. We offer simple and convenient solutions like domestic money transfers, micro ATM, APS as neighborhood banking, and I'm also happy to state that we are one of the leaders in all the three segments of business. The transaction phase requires strong execution skills and feet on ground and is the foundation for our next phase of growth. While phase one continues to have its own growth strategy, we are now wholeheartedly focused in building up the phase two and phase three of our business journey. Phase two of our business is focused on customer acquisition and maintaining the ownership. This phase is well underway, and we are seeing great results, as you can see from the numbers yourself. Customers' ownership is gaining momentum, and there is a strong trust equity built. This is also the phase where we lay the foundation for our customers' digital journey, and at the same time open avenues for monetization through cross-sells and building a liability franchise, which has been challenged for most of the universal small finance banks. Our deposits have grown significantly by 66% to 1,200 crores in FY 2023 over last year, which itself reassures that we are on the right track and that our customers believe in the Fino model and as business partners, banking partners. The success of our second phase is evident from the strong CASA growth, which has shown a CAGR of 74% since FY 20. We have built great momentum in this segment and are opening an account almost every 10 seconds. We have added 3 million new CASA accounts in FY 23, 50% more than what we added in FY 22. Our endeavor is to convert the walk-in transacting customers. I'll repeat. Our endeavor is to convert the walk-in transacting customer of us to CASA customer on us, and we have been able to do it successfully. This also results in the shift of the revenue pie from transaction business to high margin ownership business. This is important, so I'll repeat it once again. This also results in shift of our revenue pie from transaction business to high margin ownership business. While we are going wider, we are also able to maintain customer stickiness. There has been a massive increase in the renewal income, which has grown almost 10x in the last 3 years. Our debit card spends have shown a CAGR growth of 66% since FY20. Digital throughput has grown its share of total throughput from 16% in quarter 1 FY23 to 23% in quarter 4 FY23. On an average, we have been at 20% growth on UPI digital compared to last year. The customer activeness on physical or digital platform is increasing, thereby assuring higher annuity income in the form of subscription renewal. So UPI digital now constitutes 20% of our total throughput vis-a-vis 10% which was there last year. UPI is actually beneficial to our business journey. Lot of times people actually think that UPI is a cost center and you don't make money, but UPI has incidental benefits, and that is why we say UPI is actually beneficial to our business journey. We have observed that our customer renewal rate is higher for transacting UPI customers versus non-UPI customers. The average is about 83-84% versus 60% otherwise. As a bank, our endeavor is always to be there with our customers. So our aim is to become preferred and everyday banking customer, and that is why we have put a slogan called Har Din Fino. So we want to become a transacting bank for our customers, and that's why we call ourselves an everyday bank. We started working with our customers to build their digital journey, which will be the key driver for our future growth. We are actually adding physical and digital together, so becoming a truly a digital company. We are building new digital products and targeting new customer segments. We are also strengthening our digital partnerships and doing tie-ups with technology and fintech companies with specific use cases to help them open CASA relationships and expand our base as well as their base. In FY23, this was around December of 22 when we launched our digital savings account, and we have opened nearly 40,000 accounts since then in the last quarter. We also started to focus a lot more on our FinoPay and our digital journey. So roughly about 5.7 lakh monthly active unique customers are there on the FinoPay app, which has seen a growth of about 3.5 times over FY22. Nearly 35-40% of our customers are actually transacting on the UPI platform as we speak. UPI and mobile banking continue to be an integral part of the digital offering by the bank, and we are focusing on building new capabilities on our UPI and mobile banking offering so as to tap the Tier 1 and Tier 2 and also grow digitally in Tier 3 cities. You will be happy to note that your company has actually moved away from a third-party UPI switch and built their own switch in-house, and we are already starting to see the benefit of moving the switch internally rather than with a third party. And it's a big change. I must say we are one of the very few companies or banks who have an internal UPI switch. CMS being our second high margin product is also key growth driver for us in FY23, and we continue to remain growth driver in FY24 as well. From a modest 39 partners in FY20, we have come a long way, and now we have 186 partners. And as you can see in the presentation, it talks about the variety of partnerships from NBFC to online to CRA to banks to e-commerce companies. So we have definitely come a long way in our CMS business. CMS throughput has grown by 10x from 4,300 crores in FY20 to nearly 46,000 crores in FY23. That's a 10x growth in a matter of 4 years. We have been able to achieve and deliver primarily on account of our foundation of distribution network covering the length and breadth of our country. Our priorities for FY22 will be to continue the customer acquisition momentum, strengthen the customer ownership, enhance merchant network, and increase digital footprint through fintech and B2B partnerships. While these are the key management priorities, in fact, in our presentation, we have included our goals also for 2026. While this is our key management priorities, our driving principle will be to create a sustainable and creditable bank, something which we have been speaking about and talking for in the last 2-3 events as well. With this, I would like to hand over to Ketan Merchant, CFO, to walk us through the financial results. Over to you, Ketan.
Thank you, Rishi. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for joining us once again. As Rishi mentioned, we've come a long way since 2006, and this is our 13th consecutive quarter of strong profitability, and I can say that highest profitable quarter till date, and also the highest year-end closure in terms of profitability. Let me start with some distinct statistics. Our margins have improved by 240 basis points, 2.4% to 32.7 in quarter 4 23, which was at 30.3 in quarter 1 23. EBITDA has increased by from 8.4% in FY 22 to 11.1% in FY 23, and the exit run rate in quarter 4 23 is 13.3. Our FY 23 PAT is up 52% and stands at 65 crores, 25% up from quarter 4 as compared to the previous on a year-on-year basis. Our asset-light model and strong focus on high-margin products, as Rishi said, are the key levers for driving our growth. Throughput has increased by 36% to a whopping number of 2.55 lakh crores. This number for the previous year was 1.87 lakh crores. As Rishi mentioned, we've been working diligently to bring a strong merchant base and investment we have made in phase one of a business, which he alluded to as transaction focus, is now delivering results. I would like to bring to your attention to one key aspects of our performance. The fact that operating leverage is kicking in as we scale up, and this is evident from cost income ratio, which has come down by 11% over the 3-year period. We were at 37% of cost income 3 years back, and now this is 25.9 or 26%. On the related note, just to note that our operating expenses year on year has grown by 3.4%, whereas revenue has grown by 22%. I will now quickly touch upon product-wise performance. Part of it, Rishi in his headlines and in a trend over a strategic aspect has given. CASA. As you would have seen from our presentation, we are currently focused on acquisition phase, and the key driver for growth here is CASA. We are delivering robust performance here and opening a new CASA account every 10 seconds. We have a CASA base of around 75 lakhs, which is an increase of 64% on a YOY basis. Revenue has gone up by 87%, primarily driven by CASA acquisition, which I just mentioned, and annuity income as well. Our total deposit has also shown a significant growth and have grown by 66% from 724 to 1,200 crores on a year-on-year basis. Average cost of funds for us stands at 1.9%. Low-cost deposit without acquisition cost of acquiring the liability account is a real differentiated aspect for us. Continuing the ownership strategy, while we are increasing our CASA base, we are also working hard to ensure on customer engagement and stickiness. The best way to see that is to improving customer loyalty is through CASA renewal income, as I call it annuity income. This has grown for us by 167% on a YOY basis. This for us is an annuity income and mix base for Fino 2.0. A strong renewal income also reflects a healthy bottom line because the margin for renewal income is 75%. Currently, renewal income is at 74 crores, this is for FY23, and constitutes one-third of CASA income, which we anticipated and working towards making it 50% over next couple of years. 50% of the CASA income should be through renewal. CMS, Rishi also mentioned it off, it's our second high margin product and we continue to enjoy leadership position in this space. Our revenue has grown by 79% in FY23 with diversified clientele and constitutes 8% of our revenue pie. We are now hitting volume of 4,500 crores per month. Our throughput has increased by 93% in FY23 and which is at 46,000 crores plus over FY22. We continue to add new partners here which diversify our client base. Over last 2 years, our client mix has moved from 97% in NBFC MFI in FY21 to 51% in FY23, along with double throughput on a year-on-year basis. This is the growth which we've seen in CMS largely. As at 31st March 2023, we have 186 CMS clients across sectors, whether it's banks, NBFCs, e-com, cab aggregators and all. We are now covering 14 states with average monthly throughput of over 100 crores in Q4 23. This number in Q3 23 was 8 states. Again, the advantage of widespread distribution network enables us to cater in this product. So new client addition and expanding reach is our key priority here. AAPS, this is the part of the transaction income which Rishi alluded to. Our AAPS revenue has grown by 25% YOY, while the AAPS industry growth was around or was more or less flat at or you know growing by 0.3%. The throughput for Freenow grew at a healthy 8.8% YOY. AAPS momentum or the growth has helped us to partly compensate the challenges or the industry-wide challenges which we are facing across MATR. Very quickly on Freenow 2.0, Rishi has already covered some statistics just to reiterate it off. Our Freenow Pay digital accounts which we have opened, we have in 3 months' time we opened more than 40,000 accounts and Freenow Pay users have grown by 3.6x. Our digital throughput is now close to 20% of the total throughput for FY23 and 23% in Q4 23. FinTech and B2B partnership would be our prime focus for revenue generation. We now have a full UPI open banking stack as Rishi explained and are looking at a very holistic partnership approach here. We are continuously focusing on building new capabilities on UPI ecosystem and mobile banking offering. Based on renewal trends, and this is very important to allude to the point which Rishi said, what are the incidental benefits which UPI is giving to us? Based on the renewal trends, we've noticed that the probability of renewal of customer doing UPI transaction, this is the current account renewal, is as high as 83% as compared to a normal customer, which is 60%. This is the benefit of the ecosystem and this is why we are investing into the digital as well. I will now sum up by saying that we are on high growth trajectory. With inherent asset-light model and cost controls, our profitability growth percentage in times to come will continue to grow by 2.5x of the revenue growth percentage. With this, I would like to open the floor for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ashish Kumar from Infinity Alternatives. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Rishi and Ketan, and thanks for a very detailed presentation this time around and putting this perspective of past as well as future. My question was in relation to a couple of your business lines which have actually seen a degrowth this year.
Okay, Ashish, can you be a little louder?
Sure. Is it better now?
Yeah, much better. Much better.
No, my question was in relation to a couple of your business lines which have seen a degrowth this year. One was your micro ATM as well as on the business correspondent side where we've seen a degrowth this year. Can you kind of let us know what is happening on the industry and what's your outlook going forward on those two?
So on the micro ATM side, two things. One is on the cash withdrawal business and remittance business in generally. One thing which I also mentioned in my opening remarks was the shift from offers to honors. So partly the revenue of micro ATM, remittances, as well as APS has moved from that line of business to our CASA income category as an account holder. So one part is that. Apart from that, on an overall basis, the micro ATM market, which we saw a big surge happen during the post-COVID and during the COVID period, is now kind of stabilized. So we are not seeing a substantial growth or a growth in the industry per se as far as micro ATM is concerned. There was a surge of competition which came around 21-22, which has also eaten up into markets for everybody. So we believe micro ATM will move sideways only for some time before we can see a thrust coming in that segment. As far as the BC business is concerned, in the BC business, there are two things which are there. One is that getting new business on the BC side has become more challenging post the payments bank license, because and then the SFB conversation. So that mandate, getting new mandates have become more difficult on account of that. And secondly, also the focus of the ground team is more in terms of building up their own revenue rather than a BC revenue, because the margins in BC revenue is lower than our own business revenue margins. So to some extent, that gets sidetracked to some extent. While there are internal conversations in terms of how do we bring that back, and so some actions we have taken this year to segregate the teams completely so that we can focus on both the businesses separately rather than each business eating into each other. But yes, on both the sides, we in our projections also, the growth projections which you're talking about, we are not expecting a very high growth in either of the two lines of businesses which you just mentioned.
Sure. And the second question was on growth per se on Rishi. So if we, while we look at the full year, 22% is a very commendable growth in the payments business. For the quarter four, if I look at it, the growth rate is down by is at 13%. Do you think which is more sustainable? Can we go back to your historical growth rates of 20%, or do you think we will? It will be more in terms of the mid-teens to kind of budget end.
So our target is to be at 20% growth for the year. Some quarters may see a higher growth, some may see a lower growth, but on an average, we should maintain, and that's the target which we are working on to maintain a 20% growth rate as such. This quarter particularly has been a little low. You are right, 13%. We were also expecting a little higher, partly because of the micro ATM and some cash withdrawal businesses not growing or degrowing at a faster rate than what we expected. But on an average basis, we should be growing at 20%. That's the target and that's the plans which we have in place.
So nothing to read into this thing?
No, not really.
Not
plus also that we are focusing, as you see, our own business rather than API business. So from a 62% own business, we have moved to 67% on own business. So that also improves our margin. So our net margin, which was 30.2%, has now become 32.8, something like that.
Yeah.
32.7. So those are substantially higher numbers. A jump of 250 basis point in 1 year on the net margin, I think, is a good jump.
Sure. And lastly, which is a data keeping question for you, Ketan, how long do you think our zero tax structure will continue? One more or two more years?
Good one, Ashish. We have our tax losses, which will, you know, be able to cover us for FY24.
Okay, so 25 we'll get to full tax rate.
Looks like.
And, okay. Okay, thanks, Ed, and I'll come back in the queue again. Thank you.
Thank you, Ashish.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harsh Shah from Reliance General Insurance. Please go ahead.
Hi, Ketan. Hi, Rishi. So I wanted to understand one thing, that we have close to 75 lakh accounts. So how much of these accounts would be inactive?
Okay. Only one question, or you have something more to add to it?
Then I'll come back to the other questions later on.
So roughly 60% of them are active when we look at from activity level, and about 35-40% of them are active on the UPI alone. So as the new acquisitions are using more UPI, we believe our activity levels will continue to grow, and that is why Ketan has also said that in the year to come, our renewal income and our new acquisition income should be more or less equal.
Okay, so what will be our strategy to get the remaining 40% accounts to be more active?
So, Harsh, the model which we are essentially running and the base effect. If you've seen, in last year we have, you know, opened around 30 lakhs account. We are doing some things to, you know, get those remaining 40% also this thing. But however, for any such kind of a subscription business, if we do an industry analysis, a 60% plus renewal rate is something which is good. I'll come back to the statistics which I earlier said it of, you know, in the entire UPI ecosystem which we had mentioned. People who are using our UPI, which is growing, you know, tremendously and now constitutes 23% of our total throughput, there the renewal rate is, you know, around 83%. So if we continue the momentum and if our hypothesis which has been built over last 12-18 months works out, we can see a natural progression happening. However, I will again say that off with an increasing base as well, our annuity income, even at 60% on an overall basis, should be a good point to reckon in terms of sustainability.
Having just to add to this, Harsh, we are also running on multiple campaigns on digital as well as marketing campaigns to see how we can bring the inactive customers into active levels. So that is an ongoing thing which we keep on doing.
Okay, got it. And secondly, what will be our digital expenses for FY24? Investment in tech?
So, on an overall basis, Harsh, you know, we have, we typically look at, this is for FY23 you asked, right?
No, 24. What is the planned?
So I'm not making a pointed forward-looking statement out here, but however, I can say that we are looking at anywhere in the range of 10 to 12 crores plus kind of a digital, foray which I'm looking at in terms of the new partnerships and the new product which we are doing.
Okay, got it. Thanks a lot, Ketan and Rishi.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may please press *1. The next question is from the line of Shreya Shivani from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. I have three questions actually over here. First is on the micro ATM book. So for FY23, if I see the gross yield of micro ATM revenue by throughput, that's about 67 basis points, which is significantly higher than FY22. So I want to understand whether it's because you were charging more on the micro ATMs you sell. Did you sell more micro ATMs or did you start? What some color on this would be helpful. Also, while we are on the micro ATM topic, the RBI data shows that your market share in the past 3-4 months has been stable at around 23-24%. So is this an indication of the competition coming down? Any color on this that would be helpful. Second is on your AEPS, it's a data keeping question. Last year you had given us that how much market share you hold in the AEPS industry. If you could help, that was at 11%. If you can give that number for FY23, that will be useful. And third question is on the cost of funds and the yields. So the yields were quite high for FY23. They came in at 5.6%. And the cost of funds for me came in at 4.5%, interest expense divided by borrowings plus deposit. So how should I build this up for the next 3 years? Because this moves our revenues quite a bit now. So if you can help me with these three questions.
So while Ketan will talk about the cost of fund and borrowing, let me just concentrate on the first micro ATM and APS question. So micro ATM, Ashley, as I mentioned earlier also, that part of the movement of customers from offers to owners is eating up into the offers market share for Fino, but we are making more money and better margins by having the customer ownership rather than as an offers customer. And you are absolutely right, our market share has been stable, so at least in the last 2-3 months we have not shown a degrowth on that numbers. We have been stabilizing on that. Competition is more or less the same. It has not gone better or worse from Fino's point of view. So micro ATM market is right now in a very stable phase, so to say. Coming to your second question on APS, we continue to maintain amongst the top 4 banks in the country on APS. Our market share is now about 12.5%. As such, I think in December it was 11 odd percentage or
6.
Yeah, something in that region. Ketan, you want to take the borrowing cost question?
Yeah. Shreya, just couple of points out here. If I've understood your borrowing-related aspects is, firstly, you know, 1.9% is the cost which we are looking at in terms of our deposits. So, you know, on a 1,200 basis, you know, deposit which we have, our, you know, weighted average cost is 1.9%. To that, obviously, there will be some borrowing which are at a market rate. These are, you know, our 1,200 crore are the low-cost deposit which we were essentially focusing on. Your reading is right that last year, you know, we've seen a, you know, around 220 basis points kind of a move happening. We have positively benefited out of that as well. In terms of our spread, which has been in the range of 3.5% to 4%, you know, our structuring is such that without any kind of ALM risk, we are looking at any spread up in the range of 3.5% still. Point to note, and I think Rishi also mentioned, and it is there in one of the slides as well, where we put our strategic kind of an outlook as well. This 1,200 crore of deposit which we have put, we are eventually looking. We have not focused on building the balances as much in the past. If I go to slide number 18, the kind of margins and the kind of balance sheet which we are looking at is we are definitely giving an impetus to this. With a 66% growth in the previous year, we are definitely looking at a 3,500 crore kind of a, you know, low-cost liability over the next couple of years, as mentioned in our slide number 18.
Got it. So for my spreads, I should for the next years, I should take it at about 3.5 to 4%.
Yeah, in that range.
In that range only.
Yes,
right?
Please.
Okay, sure. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star and one on their touchtone phones. The next question is from the line of Vishal Singh from ICICI Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. I have just one question. While our throughput in CMS has grown quite strongly year on year, but it is a flat Q on Q despite adding kind of same number of partners during the quarter that we have been adding for the past few quarters. So just wanted to understand, is there a one-off and how should we look about going forward as well?
No, good observation, Vishal. I was expecting this question. So you are absolutely right. On a CMS side, that quarter four versus quarter three of financial year 23 has been more or less flat, just a few, maybe a few hundred crore difference. And I would take you to quarter three number. Quarter three number, we saw an exceptional jump in our CMS business. Somewhere around 28% growth was there in one quarter vis-a-vis quarter two. And that was the quarter where we saw the festival season also. And because, as I mentioned earlier, we have now doing a lot of business with e-commerce, logistics, CRA companies, banks, over and above the NBFC MFI. So all of them saw a big jump in that business, in that quarter. So our target for this quarter four was to maintain that number. So when you see a 28% jump in one quarter, you have preponed growth of nearly 2-3 quarters in one quarter. So that is where we have our numbers in quarter one, quarter four of financial year FY23 is more or less flat. But hopefully, in the coming quarters to see, we should see continue to see a growth in our CMS business. So this is one off because of the substantial jump which happened in quarter three, and our target was to maintain that growth and to sustain that levels.
Okay. Thank you so much. I think that was my question.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star 1. The next question is from the line of Deepak Agarwal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. So first of all, congratulations on the great set of numbers for FY23. My first question is...
Deepak, sorry, you may have to be a bit louder, please.
Is that audible now?
Yes, better.
So, I'm saying in the cash flow statement, there is a fixed asset increase of 94 crores during the year. So, if you can briefly explain what are the major investments here. And the second question is regarding the subscription income. In the CASA, total income is around 67 crores. So, out of it, how much is the subscription income?
Let me just take the first point first. I know our increase which has happened on account of the 95 crores which you essentially said, largely or mostly it is on account of technology. You know, from first call onwards, I have been saying it off that we keep on investing into technology and servers. And one more point to note is in all my factorings or in my projections also, we are factoring that our operating leverage will essentially come after this investment, whether in technology or digital. So just to give a perspective, and this is something which had come up in quarter one as well, that, you know, we will invest and we have put, you know, we have increased our capacity, we have done sophistication, we've had some RBI kind of a thing, we've also invested into digital aspect as well. So with all of this is you know, the investment which we've essentially done. So that's the point of the first question. I'm so sorry. Second question, I did hear you, but you may have to repeat it off because of the
second question was regarding the subscription income.
Sorry, subscription income.
Right.
Am I reading it right? Yeah. So if you've seen our total growth in CASA is seen 87%. Our renewal is essentially grown by 167% is what we've seen renewal growth, and for the reason which I explained. We've opened around 30 odd lakhs accounts in terms of the whole year. So on 30 lakhs account, we have a revenue coming of 380 per account, and that's the income which we've seen in subscription.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deepak.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star 1. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ask a question, you may please press star and 1. The next question is from the line of Ashish Kumar from Infinity Alternatives. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving me an opportunity again. I think Rishi and Ketan, you did a phenomenal job in terms of keeping your fixed cost growth at 6% last year. How do you see it over the next 12 months for the coming fiscal year? Because a large percentage of your cost is employee related. So how do you see that over the next 12 months?
Ashish, good point, and thanks for putting this question. I go back to my reference of quarter one as well. This year has been quite lower in terms of cost. I would answer this in two manners. The way the model which we have essentially built up, okay, is something which Rishi earlier alluded to, that if we are growing at a rate of 20%, and I made it in my opening comments as well, typically the profit will grow in the range of, you know, if this grows at 20%, profit typically will have a 2.5 or that X kind of a growth of the growth which is coming in the revenue. How will that essentially happen and which are the line items which we will grow? I earlier mentioned about the, you know, investment which we're doing in digital and technology that will continue. However, our operating leverage, which has been playing, if that is your question, operating leverage has been playing good in terms of the fixed cost. So that intends to continue it off. So we will continue to have operating leverage coming for next couple of years as well. So there is there any abnormal kind of a growth in cost or last year was an exception? The answer is no. Our model, which I explained, the equation between revenue and the profit percentage growth will remain and continue.
I just want to add to what Ketan is saying, Ashish, is that the model which we have built is a very asset-light, scalable model. So there is hardly any fixed cost except for the manpower and some of the offices which we have. Our large investments which we are doing, including the last year and the year to come, will be largely on the technology and the digital side. So we are internally working on a full stack revamp of our entire technology stack, which we started last year. So that's why you see a large jump in our fixed cost, fixed assets. And that will continue in the next 2-3 years to come, because we are building up a completely new stack, which will make us future ready for the next 7-10 years.
Sure. So would it be fair to say that your operating costs might continue to grow in single digits? Is that a fair thing to pencil in from a modeling perspective?
If you're putting it so pointed, the answer is yes.
Okay. And secondly, on the depreciation, we're seeing the depreciation grow much faster than the revenue, and I understand fully that you are kind of building in a full stack and the digital costs, the infrastructure is what you are investing in. So, but that would continue, kind of continue to grow at a much faster rate, I would presume, in the next 12-18 months.
Yeah, I think that's what Rishi was alluding towards. Whatever, and the question which Deepak asked as well, that, you know, the investment which we essentially done, you know, in the past and will continue on technology and digital as well in next couple of years as well.
You can, Ashish, you can see that from the volume growth which we are doing on our business, both on the physical as well as on digital side. I think, the growth has been phenomenal, and we continue to see that growth in the years to come. So it is important for us that we keep ourselves future ready as far as technology is.
No, absolutely. That's a must-have requirement. So these are more of modeling and questions just to kind of make sure. Okay. Thanks a lot, and wish you all the best.
Thank you, Ashish.
Thank you. To ask a question, ladies and gentlemen, we request you to please press star one. We have the next question from the line of Rahil Shah from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon to the management. So, sir, considering everything you just said about scaling up in digital as well as, you know, any necessary means, so are you, at this moment, are you able to share any outlook for FY 2024 in terms of revenue and the margins? So what can one expect? Are these the sustainable numbers?
Rahil, I'm sorry, I am not sharing a perspective or pointed number in terms of FY 2024. However, I think we should take some cue. We have given a strategic growth, which we have given in slide number 18, wherein, you know, we've shown how we want to essentially grow over the next couple of years as well. So there is a cue out there. As regards to the growth momentum sustainable, I think between Rishi and myself, we've said, you know, what kind of top-line growth which we are looking at, what kind of product growth which we are looking at in CASA and CMS. And if all of us, we do that way and with the kind of cost which we, you know, Ashish just asked in the past, in the previous question, you know, the kind of bottom-line growth which we should anticipate it given our asset-light model. So while it's no number, but from a sustainability perspective, from a long-term perspective, the momentum is good, and this is what we, you know, mentioned it of.
Got it. No problem. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Parimal Mithani from Credential Investments. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir, and congratulations on the good numbers.
Parimal, sorry, you will have to be a bit louder, please.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Better. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for the opportunity. I just wanted to understand, you know, in terms of the notes to accounts, in terms of other expense, you mentioned 648 crore paid to business correspondents, and your operating expense for the year is some 916 crore. So is this figure going to be increasing, or how it is? Can you explain me that, sir?
Yeah. So, Parimal, you know, the way Schedule 16 of the financial statements and notes to accounts reads is, our business, this is, you know, common to the entire banking sector. Our business, we do not have an NII, NFI split. So all direct costs, or what we call as product cost, which we essentially sales, are part of this other expensive cost. This is a very unique thing for a payment bank, where a fee-based income is, you know, the commission is largely 95% of revenue and the cost as well. So this is nothing but what we call as a direct or the product cost. As we've said, if we are looking at a high-margin product, you know, net margin, which we get for CASA or CMS, which is 60 or 40, the product cost may, you know, not as increase as much as the revenue kind of a cost. For other thing, if the question is related to what will be the margins which we are looking at, with the kind of growth which we are looking at, we are looking at a range bound and with a slightly upward bias in terms of margin. So what you picked up is a commission cost, which is a larger part of the cost, which we call as product or a direct cost for simplicity.
Okay, so since what I understand from your previous calls also, I think you're going to more towards your own channel partners, yes, compared to a business partner. This cost will be increasing or it's on a downward trend? That's what I wanted to understand.
Yeah, I think if you are looking at it, it is a fair point, and Rishi also alluded to it. You know, since the beginning, we have been increasing on a quarter by quarter on a steady basis between our own channel and open banking channel. We are now at 67 and 33. This is how it's essentially shaping up. We want to operate in the levers where, you know, we are range bound in the extent of 67 to 70% of our income coming from own and the remaining coming from API or open banking. Sorry.
Okay. And secondly, I just wanted to know, what is the regulatory requirement of cash that you will keep with RBI in terms of your CASA account?
Parimal, that is also interesting for all of us who have been tracking banks. It is different for us. The way it works is whatever deposit we generate, that we have to maintain something called DDB with the regulator or the banks. So whatever deposit essentially comes, 75% of that has to be in G-Secs, and 25% can be deployed, up to 25% can be deployed in bank deposits. Over and above that, whatever CRR cash reserve ratio which applies to us as well. So, you know, whatever deposit comes, it has to fully go either into G-Secs or bank deposits, and 4% of that has to be kept with Reserve Bank of India as CRR.
Okay. And my last question is, in terms of any policy in terms of dividend, since you're coming to a profitable side and you're going to come to a normal tax rate from next year onwards, is there any way to reward individual shareholders?
Sorry, Parimal, your question was on leverage or?
In terms of dividend distribution policy. I think your comment to positive side and, you know.
Yeah, we are, as you know, our entity is a converted entity from this thing. And earlier also there was some question, we are into the accumulated losses, which is why we're getting tax benefit as well. As and when we, you know, cover up our accumulated losses, we will be progressing or we will be exploring the dividend distribution policy.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may please press star 1. The next question is from the line of Umang Shah from Kotak Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening. Thanks for taking my question. Just one question that I have is, what is the thought process in terms of exploring the possibility of conversion to a transition to a small finance bank? Yeah, thanks.
So, Umang, this is something which we have been discussing. We are inclined, let me put it that way, to convert ourselves to a small finance bank. It is obviously a process which has to be followed. You can say we are in that day one of the process as far as getting our internal documents ready for application, getting the internal approvals, getting the entire understanding which is required for an SFB. So all that work is happening. It will anyway be a 18 months to 24 months process from the time we apply to RBI, and that is the stage at which we are. But if you look at some of the matrices which we have specified, especially if you look at page number 18, which talks about the total deposits, the 2 crore customers, the 20 lakh merchants, the kind of balances which will be there, It goes to show that the foundation is already underway to build up a very differentiated digital bank, which will have an SFB license. It will not be an SFB the kind of SFBs you see currently. It will be a very differentiated digital data-driven bank, which will have an SFB license, so to say.
Sure. So just to understand this correctly, you mentioned that it's still 18 to 24 months before we apply, and assuming if we get the all the approvals and if the transition has to happen, obviously it's going to be 24 months out. I mean, not before that. Is that understanding correct?
No. That 18 to 24 months is from the time of the application.
Oh, okay.
We apply, not 18 to 24 months to apply. Apply application will happen in this calendar year. But the conversion will take 18 to 24 months for reason known to you in terms of approvals, technology, getting everything in place as well. One big requirement is on the capital side, which is there in many, but in our case we have enough capital to start the SFB. So it is more of technology and getting the team together once we get the approval.
Understood. Perfect. Thank you so much and wish you good luck. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mom.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions, may please press star 1. We have the next question from the line of Bhaskar Chaudhary from Entrust Family Office Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Sorry if, you know, this might be a little bit of a basic question, but, you know, if when I look at your target for FY26 on slide 19, it looks like that you have assumed that the effective take rate, you know, which is the conversion of your total throughput to revenue, will remain the same, you know, between FY23 and FY26 on a percentage basis. However, if you look at the past 3-4 years, it has been consistently coming down. So, you know, what is going to move the needle here so that it remains the same?
So, good observation, Bhaskar. In terms of you, let me just break this total throughput of 5 lakh crore between digital and physical. Digital throughput, which is 50,000 crores in FY23, we are expecting a 4x growth on that piece, which is a combination of both the number of customers using digital as well as the digital throughput per customer going up. So, that is one observation. So, that 50,000 to 2 lakh. The other is that physical throughput is roughly about 2 lakh crore right now. We are expecting it to go to 3 lakh crore over the next 3 years. That means about 25 to 30% growth we expect to happen it over the next 3 years, which is a combination again of remittances, cash withdrawal, largely APS and CMS business. So all of that put together, and we are also started our work on a new LOB on the payment side, which is just in the first month of implementation. So we'll talk about it in the next quarter earnings call. And that also will add up to this total throughput, which we expect to happen in the next, in some of it will happen this year, but substantially will start from next year onwards.
And these would be at higher take rates, so to speak,
Yeah, take rates more or less, this take rates will be definitely better than the API take rates.
Okay, understood. I'll reach out separately to get more clarity. Thank you.
Yeah,
certainly.
Thank you. To ask a question, ladies and gentlemen, you may please press star 1. The next question is from the line of Kostav Gomna from BMSPL Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just a basic question. On your total treasury income, or on your total treasury investments that you make because of your CASA business, what was your MTM gain for FY23?
Yeah, thanks. I'll just repeat what I again said it off. We are not doing any kind of a trading, you know, and we do not have any trading portfolio essentially coming. Neither anything is in HFT. There is no this thing. So it's an AFS kind of a portfolio which we essentially run through. Our average tenure is largely, you know, 6 months kind of a scenario. We are allowed, just by the virtue of our regulations also, we are essentially allowed investment up to 1 year, and that's the regulation of the payment bank. So whilst I understand your question, which is coming that, you know, with given the kind of the yields which have increased, is there any hit which has come on account of HFT book or on account of an HTM kind of a book? The answer is no. We are holding it in AFS, and there is not material MTM which has hit us or which has benefited us in any manner in FY23.
Okay, so the question was stemming out of, thanks for that, the question was stemming out of, do you have any, so out of this, I mean, based on regulation in your presentation, you obviously break down everything in as revenue, product revenue, but based on regulation when you give your financial results, it comes under other income, right? So the point is that in this other income, is there anything notional or it's all realized value?
No, it's all realized value. There is nothing which is, you know, essentially notional, which comes from which can typically come for any other bank given the different banking regulation.
Okay, so it's all nothing is notional.
It's a realized income.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may please press star 1. The next question is from the line of Parimal Mithani from Credential Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hi, Parimal.
Yeah. I just wanted to understand, you mentioned in your opening remarks, when you moved from a third-party API to your own API, how does it benefit us, and what are the, can you explain that?
So there are two, three benefits, Parimal, by moving the switch, UPI switch, to our own in-house switch. One is that we have full control over the switch, so the development on the UPI platform is faster. That is one. The secondly is the fact that our UPI switch is capable of handling larger volumes of transactions, and we are able to, as you can see, the growth has been substantial on the digital side. So one is from a speed to execution is faster. The second is that it captures the growth aspect. Third is the quality of switch is there. So in terms of the faster turnaround time on transactions, the technical declines, the ability to handle large volume of transactions. You know, currently the IPL season is on, and we see a surge of nearly 2.5 times at from 6:55 p.m. to 7:25 p.m. every day. And that surge we are able to handle with our new UPI switch. And the fourth is that because of the movement of switch from third party to our own, we definitely will get some cost advantage also. So it is a moral booster for our team as well, both the technology and the digital team, because we are able to be one of the very few banks who is actually running on their own UPI platform.
Parimal, on the last point, while Rishi explained the qualitative kind of a thing, on the financial kind of a thing, which we are looking at anywhere in the range of 70 lakhs per month saving, which comes on account of this UPI.
Okay. And sir, this is two more questions. Hello.
Sir, you are audible. You can go ahead.
Yeah. In terms of your related party transaction between the holding company and you, there is a service charge for infrastructure. So what is this charge towards? If you can explain that.
What essentially happens is we have some premises which are, you know, being interused. So we have taken an arm's length kind of a situation out there, and that's what we essentially, you know, having intercompany charges between the holdco and the bank.
Okay, but in terms of this, the software part and what do you call the technology part is in the listed entity, right?
That is everything essentially is in the listed entity.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may please press star 1. The next question is from the line of Vishrut Babna, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, am I audible?
Yeah. Yes, please.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon again. So just a good question. I'm just curious, I'm not sure if this was mentioned in the last call, but are you all cross-selling any sort of lending or insurance products to the current customer base?
Vishal, we have been working on that, and some mixed progress which is there. Our jewel loan, which is gold loan, has gone up in the quarter four number. Our individual lines of credit for customers as well as for merchants has also gone up. But having said that, does it meet our expectation? Not really. We are still falling short of our expectation. I think we need to work a little bit more in terms of getting the right partners onto the platform. Is there a demand for the customers? Yes, definitely the demand is there. But I think we have been working with largely the fintech players, and fintech players have been facing some challenges lately post the RBI tightness on the regulation. So we are working on building up some more lending partnerships, which should see a more consistent flow of loan coming into our customers' accounts. Second is on the insurance side. Insurance, we are reasonably maintaining our run rate on the health insurance per se. We are in the process of rolling out our investment, which is on the mutual fund aggregator platform. We have received the approval from the Reserve Bank of India. We are in the process right now in the process of integrating that platform. It has taken longer than what we had actually planned for, but that is something which should go live in this financial year.
And are there any sort of numbers on like a cross-sell rate, or what percentage of the base is sort of gravitating towards being cross-sold one or more of these additional products?
So when we look at the cross-sell, largely I would say roughly 2 to 3% of the customer segment is currently which we are focusing on, because first we have to get the supply side in place. So right now we have a supply side issue on the credit side. Once we have that thing in place, that is when we are going to actively and look at a more deeper kind of products with our customers as well as our merchants, so to say.
Great, thank you. And just one quick clarification. I just wanted on the accounting side, the top line revenue that you'll report, just wanted to clarify that consists of the net interest income and the revenue generated from the business correspondent activities, right?
Yeah, indeed. 1230 is the total revenue which we look at.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, Rajat. Thank you everyone for joining the quarter four FY23 call of Fino Payments Bank. As we started with, we are continuing with our TAM strategy of transaction to accounts to monetization. As you can see, our phase one has gone quite well. Acquisition, which is fast, phase two is also going quite well, both in terms of new customers, renewals, liability franchise, as well as the income which we are generating on digital transactions. Monetization is an area where we need to strengthen ourselves on the credit partnerships. And as we go into the next year or this financial year, we will build some more LOBs, which we'll be talking about in our quarter one or quarter two presentations, which are largely around the payments ecosystem. Let me assure you that the customers are moving to the digital platform, and Fino is already ready and getting more ready both on the technology and the digital side as we move our customers from physical to digital journey, as well as from offers to honors. And thank you for your support in this journey of Fino till now. Thank you very much.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Go India Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.